This article is brought to you by the best-selling books they write every time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to build your practice as a freelance mediator. A working system for turning mediation skills into a sustainable independent practice. In short, building a freelance mediator practice demands more than conflict resolution skill. You need a clear positioning statement, a reliable client pipeline, and a session structure you can deliver consistently under pressure. Your reputation is built case by case. Every session is a reference either for you or against you. The intake process is where most freelance mediators lose control before the session even begins. Sustainable practice growth comes from referral relationships, not advertising. Definition: a freelance mediator practice is an independent professional service in which a trained mediator works as a neutral third party outside any single organization, managing their own caseload, client relationships, fees, and session structure to help parties reach voluntary resolution. A solicitor I knew in Belfast spent 2 years training as a mediator, passed every assessment, and then sat waiting for the phone to ring. It never did. Not because he lacked the skills. He was gifted at drawing people out, at reframing a hostile statement into something the other side could actually hear. The problem was that nobody knew he existed. He had built the engine, but not the road. He gave up after 18 months and went back to litigation. That story has stayed with me. Building a freelance mediator practice is its own discipline, separate from the mediation skills themselves. You need both. You can be the finest neutral third party in your region and still starve professionally if you cannot position yourself, reach the right clients, and structure your work so it delivers consistent results. This guide gives you the working system for all of it. Why building a freelance mediation business is harder than the training suggests. Most mediation training prepares you to sit in the room. It teaches active listening, reframing, caucus management, shuttle diplomacy, and closure techniques. Those are real skills, and they matter. What the training really covers is everything that happens before and after the room. In a freelance practice, you're the intake coordinator, the fee negotiator, the follow-up system, and the person who decides whether to take a case that is slightly outside your scope. You carry the risk of an impasse personally. There is no supervisor down the hall, and no institutional brand behind you to reassure a nervous client. The early months of a freelance mediator practice test something most training does not build: tolerance for uncertainty. Referrals come slowly. Sessions go sideways. Parties cancel the morning of. You need a structure underneath all of that, or the uncertainty will grind you down before your reputation has had time to form. What you need in place before you take your first paid case. Two things must exist before you open your practice to paying clients. Without them, you are building on soft ground. The first is supervised experience. You need a minimum of 10 to 15 sessions where someone more senior has observed your work, given you direct feedback, and confirmed that your de-escalation instincts hold under genuine pressure. Reading about reframing is not the same as using it when a party stands up and heads for the door. Get the hours under supervision before you charge for the work. The second is professional infrastructure. This means professional indemnity insurance, a confidentiality agreement template reviewed by a solicitor, a clear service description, and a way to take payment. It also means a data management approach for your case notes, because parties will ask you directly how their information is stored. If you cannot answer that question with confidence, you lose their trust before the session starts. How to position your freelance mediator practice to attract the right clients. Generalist mediators struggle. The field is too broad, and the trust cycles are too long. You will build a freelance mediator practice faster by choosing a domain and becoming known for it. Workplace disputes, commercial landlord-tenant cases, family business succession, community conflicts. Pick the territory where your background gives you a head start and where you genuinely understand the pressures both sides are under. Your positioning statement should answer one question for a prospective client: why you, rather than the dozen other mediators on their accreditation register. It is not a list of your qualifications. It is a direct sentence about the specific kind of dispute you resolve and for whom. I work with owner-managed businesses. Navigating partner or succession disputes is a positioning statement. I am a fully accredited mediator with over a decade of experience in conflict resolution is a credential list. One earns a callback, the other does not. For ideas on how to communicate your approach clearly to clients under pressure, How to handle conflict during meetings offers language that translates directly to your pre-session client conversations. The six-step process for running cases that build your reputation. Your reputation as a freelance mediator is assembled one case at a time. Each case either adds to your referral network or quietly removes you from it. The six-step process below is the working system I've seen sustain independent practices over the long term. Number 1. Run individual intake calls with each party before any joint session. Contact each party separately before scheduling a joint session. Your intake call has three jobs: gather the core facts of the dispute, assess whether both parties are genuinely willing to engage, and identify any safety or power imbalance concerns. Keep the call to 30 minutes. Take notes you can reference when you design the session. If either party is not genuinely willing, say so plainly and decline the case. Taking on an unwilling party wastes everyone's time and damages your credibility. Number 2. Set ground rules at the opening of every session without exception. Open every mediation session by stating the ground rules directly, not as a suggestion, but as the framework everyone is agreeing to operate within. Cover confidentiality, speaking time, the role of the mediator as a neutral, and the voluntary nature of any agreement reached. A script that works. Everything said in this room stays in this room unless both of you agree otherwise. I am not here to judge either of you or to impose a solution. My job is to help you hear each other and find your own way through this. Does everyone agree to that basis? Wait for a verbal yes from both parties before you proceed. Number 3. Use separate caucuses before you attempt joint problem solving. In complex or high emotion cases, move to individual caucuses after the opening statements. Meet with each party privately for 15 to 20 minutes. Ask what they need, not just what they want. The presenting position is really the real one. A party who demands a financial settlement in the joint session often reveals in caucus that their actual need is acknowledgement of harm. You cannot build a durable agreement on the presenting position alone. How unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore synergy explores this dynamic in detail and applies directly to your caucus conversations. Number 4. Reframe every positional statement before the joint session resumes. When you bring parties back together, your job is to translate what each person revealed in caucus into language the other side can hear. This is reframing, and it is the core technical skill of a freelance mediator. A party who said he has no respect for my contribution becomes what I heard was that you need your work to be recognized by your partner. You are not softening the message. You're converting a charge into a need, which is something the other side can actually respond to. Practice this translation until it is instinctive. Number 5. Hold the process when both parties pressure you to take sides. There will be a moment in most sessions where both parties, independently or together, want you to validate their position. One side will push you for agreement. The other will claim you're biased toward their opponent. This is the moment most new freelance mediators buckle. The correction is to return visibly to the process. My job is not to decide who is right. My job is to help you both reach an agreement you can live with. Let me ask you both something. We direct with a question, not a defense. How to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation gives you a method for staying centered under exactly this kind of pressure. Number 6. Close with a written agreement, however simple. Every session that reaches any resolution, even partial, should close with something written down. It does not need to be a legal document. A one-page summary of what was agreed, signed by both parties and countersigned by you, is sufficient. The act of writing it down changes the psychological weight of the agreement. Verbal closures dissolve within days. Written closures hold. Date it, keep a copy in your case notes, and send copies to both parties within 24 hours. For situations where the conflict stems from communication breakdown rather than a fundamental dispute, how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy provides a structured approach your clients can carry into the workplace after the session ends. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Adapting your practice for remote and hybrid mediation sessions. More and more clients will ask you to mediate via video call. The principles do not change, the logistics do. Your ground rules must explicitly address the technology cameras on throughout. No recording without consent from all parties and agreement that participants are in a private space without anyone else present in the room. The caucus step becomes more complex remotely. You cannot simply ask one party to step out. Build separate video calls into your session plan from the start. Schedule the joint session for the first hour, then individual calls for 30 minutes each, then a final joint call to consolidate agreements. Tell both parties this is the structure before you begin. Transparency about the process reduces anxiety when you separate them. Watch for what video calls hide. Participants can mute themselves and react off camera in ways you would catch in a physical room. If you sense a shift in a party's engagement, name it and address it directly. You've gone quiet. Tell me what is going through your mind right now. Do not let significant reactions pass uncommented. How to resolve interpersonal tension through empathy offers language for exactly these moments, and it applies whether you're in the room or on a screen. Where freelance mediators lose cases before they win them. Three errors appear again and again among practitioners building their first independent practice. All three are correctable. The mistake: accepting cases outside your defined scope because you need the income. Why it happens: the gap between completing training and landing paying clients is longer than most people expect, and financial pressure erodes professional judgment. What to do instead? Define two or three case types you will decline and write them down before you open your practice. When a borderline case comes in, check that list. A case you're not qualified to handle will damage your reputation far more than a month of low income. The mistake: skipping the intake call and going straight to a joint session. Why it happens: scheduling intake calls for both parties feels like extra work, and eager new mediators want to get into the room quickly. What to do instead? Make the intake call non-negotiable. It is where you discover whether mediation is appropriate at all, and it is your first opportunity to build trust with each party individually. Clients who feel heard before the session starts arrive less defended. The mistake: underpricing your services to compete on cost. Why it happens: without a clear track record, new mediators feel they have not yet earned premium rates. What to do instead? Set your rate based on your preparation time, session time, and follow-up work, not on what you think clients will pay. A rate that does not cover your costs will exhaust you and signal to clients that your work is not serious. Price for sustainability from the start. For a structured approach to managing the emotional dynamics inside the session itself, how to use the deal method to resolve workplace tension before it escalates is worth keeping close during your early cases. And when a dispute is spilled into written communication, when emails fail, switching to other channels helps you advise clients on how they communicate between sessions. Your pre-session checklist for every case. Print this and use it. It takes 5 minutes, and it will save you from the most common session failures. Before scheduling the joint session: number 1. Completed individual intake call with party A. Notes filed. Number 2. Completed individual intake call with party B. Notes filed. Number 3. Confirmed both parties are genuinely voluntary and willing to engage. Number 4. Identified any power imbalance, safety concern, or scope issue that requires review. Number 5. Sent and received signed confidentiality agreements from both parties. Number 6. Confirmed your professional indemnity insurance covers this case type. Session design. Number 1. Written opening statement prepared, covering ground rules and your role. Number 2. Caucus plan ready, including timing and re-entry structure. Number 3. Key framing language prepared for the presenting positions you heard in intake. Number 4. Closure agreement template ready to complete at session end, after the session. Number 1. Written agreement sent to both parties within 24 hours. Number 2. Case notes filed securely. Number 3. Invoice issued promptly, not after a delay. Number 4. Referral source thanked, if applicable. The work that builds a practice over time. Here is the truth of it: a freelance mediator practice grows the way a tree grows. It does not happen quickly. The roots are your reputation, your referral relationships, and your consistency across cases. The branches, the inbound calls, the repeat clients, the introductions to new networks, grow only because the roots are deep enough to hold them. The solicitors, HR directors, and financial advisors who refer cases to you will do so because they trust that you will protect their client, run a clean process and tell them honestly if a case is not suited to mediation. They do not refer because of your website or your accreditation letters. They refer because a previous case went well and they felt confident recommending you. Earn that confidence once and you earn it for years. Build your freelance mediator practice on that principle and the work will find you. Frequently asked questions. What is a freelance mediator practice? A freelance mediator practice is an independent professional service where a trained mediator works as a neutral third party outside any single organization, taking on conflict resolution cases from businesses, families, or individuals. The mediator manages their own clients, fees, and session structure to help parties reach voluntary resolution. How do you get clients as a freelance mediator? Most freelance mediators build their client base through professional referrals, relationships with lawyers and HR departments, and accreditation listings. Consistent follow-up, a clear service description, and a reputation for reliable, confidential work matter far more than advertising or a large social media presence. What mediation skills do you need before going freelance? Before going freelance, you need confident command of active listening, reframing, caucus management, and closure techniques. You also need experience running sessions under supervision. Technical skill alone is not enough. You must be able to hold your nerve when both parties direct frustration at you. How much should a freelance mediator charge? Freelance mediator fees vary widely by sector, geography, and complexity. Day rates typically range from a few hundred to several thousand dollars depending on your market. Set your rate based on your overhead, preparation time, and the value of resolution to your clients, not just what others charge. What is the hardest part of building a freelance mediator practice? The hardest part is the gap between completing training and landing paying clients. Most new freelance mediators underestimate how long the trust building phase takes. Referrals are slow at first, and the temptation is to discount fees or take cases outside your scope, both of which damage your practice long term. How do you structure a mediation session as a freelance mediator? A well-structured mediation session includes an opening statement, separate or joint information gathering, joint problem solving, and a closure agreement. Preparation before the session, including individual intake calls with each party, dramatically reduces the time spent managing misunderstanding inside the room. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.